You're listening to this week's excerpt from the Dear Prudence podcast. To get the full-length members-only version every week, join Slate Plus at slate.com/prudypod.
Dear Prudence.
Do you think that I should contact him again?
Help.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Hello, and welcome back to the Dear Prudence Show. Once again, and as always, I am your host, Mallory Ortberg, also known as Dear Prudence. With me in the studio this week is Jess Reynolds, who I'm very excited to introduce to all of you. But first, I want to read a letter that I got recently from a reader after a recommendation I had made, I believe, on the podcast. Here it goes. Dear Prudence, I'm a big fan, which is why I was somewhat concerned when you recommended the Straight Spouses Network to one of your letter writers last month. As someone who only recently came out to their partner as bisexual, I know what it's like to scour the internet for information about being in a mixed orientation relationship. I skimmed through the Straight Spouses Network's website and found a lot of the language that they used as not especially helpful and often sometimes biphobic and transphobic. Much of their website seems to promote the biphobic trope that any man with same-sex desires or relationships is simply gay and in denial. The tag for bisexuality brings up a total of 3 posts, 2 of which promote this myth, and the other which feels like a defensive post to guard it against accusations of biphobia. Perhaps the Straight Spouses Network is a great resource for straight spouses. Perhaps it's misguided in some of its fears, but I just wanted to bring this to your attention. I'm so glad that you did, letter writer, and that's such a helpful reminder to me because I will often get tapped to send resources somebody's way. And while I'll usually do my best to at least take a look at what I am recommending somebody else, there's absolutely times that I'll just see like, oh, people have mentioned the Straight Spouses Network before. I have never been anyone's straight spouse. I don't have any direct experience. No one's ever said anything terrifying about them. Seems great. And of course, I have not seen all of this stuff for myself. So it's also helpful just to take this with a grain of salt. But it's just useful to know that that was your experience. 3 posts on bisexuality is not a ton, and that's not great. Biphobia is not great. So it's just helpful to know. I'm going to be able to do a little more research and figure out whether or not I'm going to need to recommend something else in the future if somebody writes to me about being in a mixed orientation marriage. And it's always good to know if something out there is simply the best known because it's sort of the first thing that pops up when somebody says, hey, what should a straight spouse do? Rather than, hey, here's this like really nuanced, helpful organization that's kind of aware of all different aspects of like the LGBT community. So thank you for bringing that to my attention. I'm going to do a little bit more reading, figure out a little bit more if there's something else that I would recommend to people in future. And now I'm just going to welcome Jess. I'm joined today by Jess Reynolds, a Sacramento-based writer and self-appointed mom friend. Their first book of poetry is forthcoming from Skinner House Books this spring. Jess, hello. Welcome.
Hi, Mallory. It's great to be here.
Thank you for being the first poet slash self-appointed mom friend on the show.
You're welcome. It's an honor.
That's such a, like, it's such a wonderful energy, and I know exactly what you mean. Like, I think almost everybody has somebody who's like, oh, yeah, they're kind of the poet slash mom friend, even if they don't necessarily write poetry.
Right.
Everyone's got
one.
It's
a vibe.
Or should. It's a good vibe. It's a good vibe, and I'm glad that you're bringing that that energy here today.
I'm delighted to be here.
What is the most mom friend thing you have done, like, just off the top of your head?
In my freshman year of college, one of my high school friends, who I had not spoken to since I left for college, called me up out of the blue because he was having a minor crisis. And so I talked him through it on the phone while lugging my luggage downstairs to get in a car with someone I had never met to take me to the airport, and continued to give him advice while awkwardly apologizing to my ride.
That is a deep commitment to a certain performance of momness.
I thought so.
That I really, really love. Just that kind of combination of I am making new friends. I am self-sufficient. I am carrying this luggage and I will not leave you alone while you are suffering. Because that's sort of the mom friend, by the way, is just like it's an ideal. It's a performance of a certain type of momness. Rest assured, readers, we are not listeners, rather. We are not trying to claim that this is the only sort of expression or manifestation of momness.
There are many, many ways to be a mom or a mom friend.
The mom friend is wonderful. I think the only mom friend characteristic I've ever had is that I like to drive my friends places.
Yes.
And in very few other ways am I the mom friend. I rely on my mom friends in a way that is probably deeply problematic on my part.
Everyone needs their mom friends.
Everyone needs some mom friends. And my mom is a nice lady as well. Although she's not the mom friend. Like, my mother is not the mom friend. Hi, mom, if you're listening. So I'm really glad that you're going to be bringing that energy, because I feel like our first letter writer really needs a mom friend.
Yeah.
This is a person in desperate need of a mom friend.
I feel the same way.
Good. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and get us started. I'll read our first letter, and then you can just make mom faces as I read it. Dear Prudence, 3 years ago, my boyfriend of 7 years, Ivan, and I broke up. We'd had plans to marry, but stressful, budding careers drove a wedge between us. We were colleagues in the same field. There was jealousy that my career was advancing more rapidly at the expense of his own, and we split the sheets. Over these 3 years, we have maintained a long-distance friendship, in addition to serving as a resource of information at work, and even providing each other with professional references for job applications. Both of our careers have skyrocketed. Both of us have dated other people. And both have endured extensive personal growth in these last 3 years. A year ago, I met Dave, who treats me kindly, has a soft heart, and cares immensely about others. He has many of the qualities that I desire in a mate. We enjoy a lot of the same hobbies. He has a successful career, good financial health, etc. We're good friends, but I would consider this relationship to be safe. 10 months in, he asked me to marry him. I agreed, and now the wedding is in 3 months. It's all happening very quickly. There's also a substantial age difference between us. Prudence, I am laying awake at night thinking about trying to make things work with Ivan. There are still smoldering mutual feelings that we have discussed off and on throughout our separation, but career conditions did not dictate our getting back together. Ivan has just accepted a promotion that will allow us the opportunity to be together again. This would obviously mean breaking up with Dave and calling off the wedding, which would devastate him, and I'm feeling immense guilt just having these thoughts. Additionally, that would mean taking a substantial step backwards in my career. Continuing on the existing path means to stay in a solid, albeit vanilla, relationship, continuing to ride this career updraft, and completely let go of Ivan. I have talked to Ivan about my willingness to break off this engagement, move and change jobs for the chance to make this work again. I could tell he was careful to remain neutral. He said he would consider it, but also encouraged me to continue down the path of career success. So I had like 50 different moments during this letter where I just had to stop and take like a deep stabilizing breath. But I think I'm just going to start by throwing out there that I had to look up split the sheets.
I also had never heard that before.
Yeah. And because it was not clear to me. Like I tried to use context clues. I remember SAT prep didn't work. It means like essentially got divorced. Like we split our mutual resources and said goodbye amicably.
Right.
I figured split the sheets had something to do with sex. I was way off.
I think I was clearer that it just meant split it up.
I thought it was like, we had such great sex that we broke the sheets. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, we broke the bed. And I was like, I don't know, maybe you like ripped the sheets in half.
That would be impressive.
That was not what this letter writer meant. There are a number of premises in this letter that I think maybe are not all of the same piece. I think you could split the sheets of some of these premises. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But like, you know, the sort of like, all right, I have two options. I can continue on my existing path, which means I stay in this relationship with a guy I do not care for. Because let's be clear, this is not a guy she is enthusiastic about at all.
No, not at all.
And continue to ride a career updraft and let go of Ivan. And it's like, you can do two, but not three of those things. Like, I mean, spoiler alert, my advice is don't marry either of them.
I think a letter writer is conflating the different decisions. Like, I do not think they want to marry Dave.
No. Does anyone think this letter writer wants to? Like, show of hands, listeners. Do any of you think this letter writer wants to marry Dave? No, you don't. Of course you don't.
But that's not the same decision as, do I want to try again with Ivan?
Right.
Those are two, like, completely separate choices that we have, that the letter writer, I think, needs to address completely separately for themselves.
Which, by the way, I am also totally against.
What? Continuing
with Ivan? Getting back together with Ivan. I think that is a terrible idea. And I'm curious to know if you think it is also terrible or if you think it's only kind of bad.
I think that it's hard to... It's definitely at least kind of bad. But it's hard to know how it would go without Dave in the picture. Yeah. I do not recommend getting back together with Ivan immediately after breaking up with Dave.
You think the first thing to do, which I totally agree with, is just break up with Dave. Like, regardless of whether Ivan
exactly.
is in the picture, you don't love Dave. You don't even do the usual, like, lie that people say when they write to me of, like, I love my partner, but.
Right, there's...
You don't even say that.
Dave treats me kindly. That's as best as you've got.
He has many qualities I desire in a mate.
Like,
Yikes. This is... You don't like this guy. Like, I'm sure you like him.
But you don't want to marry him.
You don't want to marry him at all. He has a career. Okay. A lot of people have a career. Good financial health. That's not really an expression. I think you mean he has money, which is fine, but just say what you mean. You guys like the same hobbies. Like, again, lots of people share. There's only so many hobbies you can have, you know? Like, none of this is like, I love him.
Right. There's nothing about even your compatibility.
Yeah, he's non-objectionable.
People.
You guys both enjoy lacrosse or whatever. Fine. Break up with Dave. Like, break up with Dave. Your wedding is in 3 months. Fine. People call off weddings 3 months in advance all the time. Like, you are not locked into anything. People get divorced. People leave people at the altar. People call off engagements. It happens. Do it. You have a sufficient reason to do it. Even if Ivan died tomorrow, I would still not say that you should marry Dave. Because if you marry Dave, you're going to leave Dave in 5 years, maybe three. If not for Ivan, for a guy who's a lot like Ivan.
The biggest clue for that for me was this would mean breaking up with Dave and calling off the wedding, which would devastate him. Like, it wouldn't. Bother
yeah,
you.
I don't care at all, but I'll feel guilty and like I'm a jerk. And it's like, yeah, you're going to hurt him. You agreed to marry someone you don't love. That's hurtful. And I don't say that to make you feel terrible about yourself. I just say, like, your two options with Dave are either preserve his feelings and marry him and stay married to him until you die, which I think will make you very unhappy for the rest of your life, or make him sad now and then let him get over it and find someone who wants to marry him for reasons other than, like, we both enjoy canoes.
I strongly agree. There is, oh, letter writer, you cannot marry Dave.
Yeah, this is not solid, albeit vanilla. It's not solid if you don't love the guy. That's not solidity. That's just lying.
That's safe, like
and you said.
But
not to say, by the way, that the only reasons a person can get married are like wild, sweeping, passionate, romantic love. I totally understand there are a lot of reasons people get married. And sometimes it's, I am looking for a companion, somebody that I can trust and who treats me well. This person fits the bill and I'm comfortable with that. But it's very clear that you are not comfortable with that.
Right. You want something
want
else.
But with Ivan, my friend, you say that you guys broke up because of, what was it? There was jealousy that my career was advancing more rapidly than his.
Masterful use of the passive voice.
Where was the jealousy coming from? Was it coming from you? Was it coming from, like, the sky? Or was it coming from Ivan? It was coming from Ivan. Ivan was jealous. There wasn't jealousy. Ivan got jealous. The jealousy was produced by Ivan. Ivan made the jealousy.
Not, like, from the sky like Ublek.
Yeah, it's not a natural resource. You didn't, like, oh, we hit a jealousy vein, and now it's, like, overflowing the backyard. He got jealous of you. Not only did he get jealous of you, if you guys get back together right now, it sounds like it will be because you take a step back in your career. My friend, that's what he wanted in the first place. Don't do that! That will, again, make you unhappy. If you get back together with a person who did not like that your career was doing better than his, and you get back with him on the condition that you take, like, a demotion, then that's literally you're going back into the crappy version of your relationship that didn't work for you 3 years ago.
And you're not, I don't think, letter writer, that this would end well for you. I can't say it wouldn't make you happy, but I don't think it would end well for you.
Tell you what, if you enjoyed 3 years of a skyrocketing career and that's all you wanted, and now you want, like, a kind of dead-end career that you don't really care about, but great sex with Ivan or whatever, if that's what you want, you can certainly make that choice. It's not a choice I would make, but you can do it. But it does not sound like you guys have addressed in any way the fact that when you were together, he did not like that your career was going well, and you don't really sound like you have any reasons to think it would be different now. So my question to you is, what has changed other than the fact that his career finally started to go well? It doesn't sound like he meaningfully thought through, like, why does it bother me that my partner's career is doing well? It's just that he got a better job and you're contemplating getting a worse one. So like the problem still exists. You're stepping back into a problem you had 3 years ago.
Right. This dynamic has not changed.
Yeah. So, you know, I get that smoldering mutual feelings are hard to let go of. I get that it's easy to mistake independent individual success for we are different people now. But I don't think that that's the case. I think you just, you both did better apart. Like, literally, that was confirmation that your breakup was a good idea.
I strongly agree.
You know, maybe go split the sheets with him one more time, you know, like, break up with Dave, have, like, a wild weekend with Ivan.
And then block his number.
Yeah, or just say, like, that was it. Or say it first. Say, like, I don't want to get back together with you, but I'd sure enjoy, like, a three-day weekend somewhere together just going bananas on each other. Don't say it like that. That's not sexy.
Probably also don't say splitting the sheets with you.
Yeah, especially because I'm misusing that phrase. But yeah, no, you are not. Call off the wedding. Yes, you will feel guilty, but you will feel less guilty than if you married someone you didn't love. And then don't get back together with Ivan.
It is a whole lot easier to call off a wedding than to divorce somebody.
Yeah, it's cheaper too. And, you know, like, enjoy your thriving career and find somebody who enjoys your hobbies and is in good financial health and has a kind heart and is not bothered by the fact that you have a good job. Like, those are very modest expectations at a partner. You will find someone, likely. It's likely that you will find someone who can meet all of those criteria.
And from what you've said in your letter writer, not having a partner would be better than either of these men would be for you.
Especially, like, I could tell he was careful to remain neutral. Like, that's really what you want to, like, jump back into? Like, a guy who's like, hey, I'm going to be carefully neutral here, but, like, you should consider quitting your job, getting a worse job, and moving back in with me. Like, that's not the, like, red-hot romantic alternative to your safe, stable relationship. This is just an old mess that you successfully extricated yourself from once. Don't backslide.
Don't do it.
All right. Our second letter is, I don't do this too often, but just a heads up to our listeners, our second letter is about somebody experiencing sexual assault within a relationship, and it contains a description of the assault itself. So if that's just not something that you have the bandwidth for dealing with today, go ahead and skip it.
Subject: confused. Dear Prudence, I'm in a relationship of more than a year with an amazing guy. He's considerate, funny, and we get along incredibly well. However, he is very opinionated. While I can be determined, I'm afraid to hurt people's feelings and will try to answer what I think the person I'm speaking to wants to hear. A while ago, my boyfriend and I were watching a film and started kissing. He began touching me and grinding on me while I touched him back. We decided against doing anything further as we were in his living room and his roommate was downstairs. Toward the end of the film, we started kissing again. I then heard his roommate and broke away as I felt it was inappropriate. My boyfriend then straddled me on the sofa. When I tried to get up, he told me that he knew I wanted it and pressed his crotch toward my face. Since we had already started and I didn't want to let him down, I caved and gave him a blowjob. Now I feel awful. I did want to be with him, and we can sometimes be rough in bed, but it didn't feel right at that time. I was also uncomfortable by the way he told me he knew I wanted it. I know that I gave him mixed signals by reciprocating and then turning him down, but I know he would not have put up with this if the tables had been turned. We are both inexperienced when it comes to relationships, and I know he did not intend to be so aggressive. How can I approach this with him? And do you have any suggestions to what I could say if I'm not in the mood without hurting his feelings?
This kills me. Letter writer, I'm so glad that you wrote and wanted to talk about this with someone. I'm really sorry. I can hear both the obvious hurt and pain in your letter, as well as the desire to furnish a reason for why your boyfriend wouldn't do something to hurt you if he really understood. And I get that desire, because when somebody you love hurts you, you don't want to think they knew what they were doing and they did it anyways because they didn't care if they hurt me as long as they got what they wanted. You want to believe they just didn't understand. I just failed to explain myself. I was unclear. So if I can just be clearer in the future, I know they won't hurt me again, because I want to believe they don't want to hurt me.
But he did hear you.
And you know that. You know, you say yourself, I know he wouldn't have put up with this if the tables were turned. And I think that's such a profound moment of clarity in your letter. And I just encourage you to take a look at that. Like, you know. And you know that for a reason. You know that not because you want it to be true or because you hope it's true, but because you know that you were, in fact, clear. You said, I don't want to go any further than what we're doing as long as your roommate is in the house. And then you tried to get up. That's clear. That's not ambiguous. That's not a mixed message. That's, I'm okay with what we're doing. I don't want to take it further. And when he attempted to take it further, you got up. Clear as a bell.
Absolutely.
Clear as day. Couldn't be clearer.
And you know, I think, that he knows that too.
Yeah. And so the conversation that you first need to just have with yourself is just one that's sad. It's not that I was not clear. It's not that I need to finesse his hurt feelings more. Because I just need to tell you, regardless of your experience in relationships, part of being a loving, caring, compassionate adult who's in relationships with other people is, if you do not get what you want in the moment, if you do not get what you want sexually from another person at the exact moment you desire it, that is okay. And you should not sulk until you get your way. You shouldn't ignore somebody else's no. You shouldn't press when somebody tries to leave. That it is okay for him as an adult to sometimes have hurt feelings. Like, it's okay to feel rejected in the moment. And a good person knows that. And when they have that moment of, oh gosh, that makes me feel kind of bad, their response is not, so I'm going to steamroll over you. Their response is just, oh, I'm having a feeling. I can pause, stop what I'm doing, feel my feeling, and talk about it.
Absolutely.
So you're trying right now, and I get this, you're trying to find a way to make this kind of, not your fault, but figure out a way that you can stop this from ever happening again. But the fault here was not in you being unclear. The fault was in your boyfriend. When you tried to get up and leave, he shoved his genitals in your face. And you both know, you say that you know, you would never do that to him. And you also know that if you had done it to him, he would not like it. He did to you something that he would not want to be done to him. And that's not okay.
I, you know, letter writer, I hear you. I hear a lot of things in this letter that, yeah, like you said, Mallory, are trying to reason, right? Make it have some sort of reasoning, some sort of why. You know, I see we had already started and I didn't want to let him down. Or I know that I gave him mixed signals, but you didn't. So what now?
Right. And sorry, one more thing, because I know we're so close to the what now, but I just want to address one other thing, which is, again, you're kind of trying to make to give yourself this punishment, this pushback you're afraid you might get from others, which is, well, I do want to be with him, and sometimes we're rough in bed, as if to say the fact that you generally speaking enjoy having sex with your boyfriend means on some level he has a right to expect or demand sex from you at any time. And that's just not true. Like, of course, when you are partnered with someone that you enjoy sleeping with, it makes so much sense that, like, consent is something that you would often be willing to give under certain circumstances, but not others. Like, it is perfectly reasonable to say, I enjoy having sex with my boyfriend. Sometimes I enjoy having rough sex. I don't like having sex when somebody else is in the house and might walk in on us at any moment. And that's a perfectly reasonable limit to have.
Right. You are allowed your limits.
Yeah. So don't feel like, gosh, it's awfully confusing that he's like, well, sometimes you want to have sex with me when we're alone. So why is it different? Like, of course it's different, you know?
Right. There's nothing ambiguous here. There's nothing about your desires that was, or your limits that was unclear, or even, it would be okay if you had odd boundaries. Like, I don't want to have sex with you when you're wearing purple socks, but.
Yeah, you can have arbitrary limits. That's fine.
Whatever you can have whatever limits you want, but this is not your fault for not saying them, because you did.
Yeah. So, you know, the conversation that I would encourage you to have next, it sounds like you're already kind of aware it's going to be really hard for you, because you say, you know, it's not that I'm a weak-willed person. It's not that I'm a shy or a sensitive person all the time. But I really don't like hurting people's feelings, especially, I imagine, the feelings of somebody that I love and think is amazing. And sometimes when there's conflict, I will default to saying in the moment what somebody else wants to hear. So I hear you. And I hear that part of what you're saying is there any way I don't have to have this conversation with him? And I just, you know, I just want to tell you, like, I don't know you. You don't know me. The choice is totally yours. Like, but I sure encourage you to have this conversation with your boyfriend. I think it would go a long way towards letting you know that you are a person of value and worth, and that when somebody harms you, when somebody knowingly negates your no and takes what they want from you sexually, despite your attempt to leave, that you deserve not to be treated that way, that you deserve the right to expect basic respect and autonomy from your partner. And so to say to your boyfriend, when we were watching a movie, when I told you I didn't want to do anything further, when I got up to leave and you shoved your crotch in my face and told me that you knew that I wanted it, you hurt me. You knew I didn't want it. You tried to tell me that I wanted something that you wanted, and you did not let me get up in order to take what you wanted sexually from me. Why did you do that? Like, not in the sense of give him a chance to explain himself, but just to name it, name what he did.
Absolutely. I think there will be a lot of value for you, letter writer, in naming it, in saying it out loud, and in bringing it to his attention. Not that he doesn't know, but telling him that you know that it wasn't okay.
And, you know, I mean, just to be clear so that it is obvious, like, where I'm coming from, I encourage you to break up with him. I encourage you to end this relationship. I think that that would be good for you to be able to do. But I also, you know, I don't want to, like, come down really hard on you because you're already coming down really hard on yourself. And I know that you love him. And it can be really, really hard to acknowledge that, like, the man I love sexually assaulted me. And
Absolutely.
He knew that he was doing it. And he just didn't care. Because I have to say, I think it would be wonderful if you came to him with this and he said, you're absolutely right. And that's wrong. And I need to contact a restorative justice program and really change the way that I approach sex and power and consent and do a lot of inner work and change my life. And I harmed you in a way that I cannot take back. And I am unspeakably sorry for that. And I will carry the weight of that action with me for the rest of my life. My guess is he will say something like, gosh, I'm sorry you felt that way. How was I to know? You were really unclear. You did end up giving me the blowjob. Because I successfully got what I wanted out of you, that is now evidence that I did not harm and assault you in order to get what I wanted, which I gotta say, I cannot think of anything more horrifying than saying, because I successfully sexually assaulted you, I couldn't have sexually assaulted you. I don't think that your boyfriend is a good person.
I
think there's a chance that he can learn and grow. I do feel like it's really important that we don't irredeemably and irrevocably throw people away when they commit acts of sexual violence. I think it's important for those people to be given opportunities to change. But
that opportunity to change doesn't have to be with you.
Yeah.
You know, you call him considerate, but this was not a considerate act. And you can, if you're not comfortable applying adjectives like inconsiderate, which is a very mild adjective, obviously, in this case, to him, then you can apply them to the act. You know, he did not make considerate, kind, amazing guy kind of choices. And whether or not he deserves a second chance, it does not have to be with you.
Yeah. And just, you know, before we kind of wrap up, I just want to walk you through with the multiple opportunities in the moment that your boyfriend had to listen to you that he did not take. Just so you really get a sense of, you're not imagining this. You were not, you know, you did not fail to be clear. You guys started kissing and touching one another, and you said, I'm okay with this, but I don't want to go further than this. And then later you kissed, which again, was right within the confines of what you had said you were comfortable with. You were engaging in behavior you had already said, I feel okay with this, this is fine. Then you heard the roommate, you broke away. You physically ended the encounter. That's a very clear move, right? Somebody breaks away from you, what do you think? They want to continue or they want to stop?
I think they want to stop.
Yep, you made yourself very clear. He then straddled you. So it's not just that he tried to resume kissing. he got on top of you. He blocked your move. You know, he made it that much harder for you to get up.
And very clearly took it a step further.
So he immediately saw you say no physically, and he escalated in a very clear way that was letting you know, don't try to say no again. And you did try anyways. You tried to get up. And then he shoved his crotch in your face and said, I know you want this. That's your third no. Once was, I don't want to go any further while you're roommates. Two is, I broke away. Three is, I tried to give up. That's three, I tried to get up. That's three times. And every time, he either ignored your no or he escalated. That's not a mixed signal. He knew that you were saying no, and that's why he escalated. He did that on purpose. He was blocking your no. He didn't care. And that's why I feel like it's really important for you to end this relationship. And I wish you all the love and encouragement and support in so doing, because you deserve somebody who, when you break away, says, you all right? Who, when you try to get up, lets you get up and does not block your body with his body to stop you from doing it, because he feels like it is so important that he gets a blowjob that he doesn't care if it comes at the expense of your safety, your comfort, your own sexual desire, or your expressed and stated wishes. Like, that is not a trend. Like, if he's willing to have sex under those conditions, then the way that he wants to have sex is not okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, I just like...
And I'm so sorry this happened to you. Like, I hope you really hear that this was... It's okay that this hurts. This is not your fault. And
I understand the desire to say he couldn't have meant those things because he loves me. He both loved you and wanted to do those things to you, because the way in which he loved you is aggressive and harmful. And that doesn't mean that he was a monster every day. That doesn't mean that everything he did, you know, for you that you enjoyed separately are now, you know,
tainted,
a total lie. But it does mean, you know, you say he didn't intend to be so aggressive. Yes, he did. He straddled you because he knew you were trying to get up. He shoved his crotch in your face because he knew you were trying to break away. He intended to be that aggressive because he wanted a blowjob and he didn't care how much he had to hurt you to get it. So you approach it with him by calling it what it was, sexual assault. You tell him it's not okay. You tell him that you cannot be with him because he is willing to sexually assault the woman that he loves and that he needs to get help. I encourage you at the very least to call the National Sexual Assault Hotline, to speak to a therapist about this, to talk to somebody who you can trust about this. That's painful and that's awful, and I'm so sorry. And I do not encourage you to figure out how to stay with him and figure out nicer ways to say no. I don't think that that's going to answer the problem, because the problem is that your boyfriend is willing to sexually assault you if you don't want to have sex and he does.
Right.
And
the problem is not how you said no. The problem is that he ignored your no.
Yeah. I feel like if I keep talking about this one, I'm just going to start saying very angry things about him, and that will not be helpful to the to the writer. But just know that I could not support you more, or feel with you more, or be sorrier about what he did. And
I'm going to throw one more thing in
there. Please
do.
It's
okay. Like, there's a lot of shame around things like this, especially when you're feeling like it was somehow your fault, or you gave him mixed signals, or, you know, when you have all of those feelings. And it's great that you wrote in here. And, you know, you can talk to your friends about this, people you trust. You can tell people that it happened. Like, you don't have to proclaim it from the rooftops, but, you know, you can talk to someone.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. This is not a secret that you have to keep on his behalf. You have the right to talk about the way in which he harmed you as much as you need to with anyone in your life that you think can help. All right, let's keep it moving.
All right.
This next one, man, just big family stuff, boundary stuff today.
Oh, yeah.
People taking advantage of other people's innate goodness. Not loving it. The subject is not your mom. Dear Prudence, I married a man with 3 children, ages 10 to 14. And for the most part, I hope to have a good rapport with them, but not become their primary parent. We usually have them every other weekend, on alternate holidays, and for a month during the summer. But their mother recently left the state to deal with her invalid parents for the last 2 months. The kids have been living with us since December, and I'm at the end of my rope. All the daily drudgery gets piled up at my door, and my husband and stepkids act surprised when I don't automatically act on it. Forgotten homework, dirty laundry, dinner not being made, all of them are incapable of doing any of it. I work long, hard hours, and I'm tired of coming back to chaos. Last week, I had to work on a major project from 5 a.m. to 7 p.m. every day. My husband got the kids pizza 3 days in a row, only for my stepkids to tell me how tired they were of it. So I stayed up and made some frozen casseroles. I told my oldest stepdaughter that she would have to heat it up for her siblings around 5, since my husband and I were both working late. I left instructions on the fridge. I came home to an angry husband and hungry kids. My stepdaughter forgot, and my husband's response wasn't to scold his daughter, but scold me. I should have texted them all a reminder. I told him I had to get back to work, and I turned around and left the house. I checked into a hotel and stayed there overnight. My stepkids are genuinely good, and I understand that they miss their mom, but right now I get treated like the hired help. My husband and I are fighting. He tells me that I have to step up as a stepmother, and I tell him I can't because he won't back me up. He wants to be their friend more than their parent. We don't know when their mother is getting back for good, and this situation is stressing me out to the point that I'm making mistakes at work. I am honestly thinking of checking into a hotel permanently until she comes back. I don't know if I will have a marriage to come back to. Can you help me find another way?
Wow.
Letter writer, I just need you to know that when I got to the line about how you said you had to go back to work and you went to a hotel, Jess just did a silent fist pump, and so did I in my heart.
I'm so proud of you.
Well done.
Just walking out of that situation where clearly you were not being listened to. You were not being treated respectfully.
I think I know. I'm going to go ahead and speculate that the reason this guy's last marriage ended is because his wife left it. And I'm willing to bet I have a couple theories as to why she left his ass.
I probably have the same theories.
This guy sucks. This guy sucks. I'm sorry. I want to give more nuanced advice, but this guy sucks.
Letter writer, your husband scolded you.
He sucks.
That's not something you do to your spouse.
You made a casserole. You told the kids when to put it in the oven. The girl is 14 years old. You left instructions on the fridge. You came home and your husband said you should have sent a text too because your husband sucks. Like, come on. Your husband apparently came home, saw that the casserole was not in the oven, and rather than press the button to turn the oven on, because that's all, like, that's all ovens are now, are buttons. Like, he did not have to, like, personally get, like, a dog to run on a wheel to start turning a spit over a fire he had to build with his bare hands. Like, he decided, no, I'm not going to press the button and start cooking the casserole myself now and then to say to my 14-year-old, hey, like, instructions were on the fridge, look more next time. He was like, oh, I'm just going to sit here angrily and wait for my woman to get home.
I am floored.
He sucks.
Okay. He was angry at you for not sending a reminder. He scolded you. He's telling you to step up as a stepmother. Like, this is...
And just, like, everything's your job for his kids. Dinner, their laundry, their forgotten homework. Like, he's not asking you to be a step-parent. He's asking you to be their mother. Like, these are his kids.
And I want to point out that these kids are between 10 and 14. Like, if they were younger, then there is just automatically more work that they cannot do themselves.
Right. And 10-year-olds can do laundry.
Certainly the 14-year-old can.
Yeah.
They can, you know, heat up a casserole. They can remember their own homework.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, I don't want to be as hard on the kids as I want to be on the dad.
Absolutely not. But I'm saying, like, there's not the same amount of parental energy that needs to go into it. Like, your husband can do the majority of this.
Yeah. And you know, just again, especially given that these kids already have a mother and, you know, your husband and his ex have been co-parenting them for a while, like, he should not, like, just the expectation that, like, as his wife, food and clothes are just your purview in addition to being his wife is just some bullshit. And I'm so glad you checked into a hotel. And I think you should check back into a hotel. And if you think that the act of checking into a hotel and no longer doing your husband's kids' laundry all the time and texting them more about casseroles is going to be something that ends your marriage, then I'm just going to go ahead and say your marriage needs to end. I don't think you should say I'm divorcing you, but I think you should say this is not working. Your expectations of me are absolutely outrageous. I am no longer taking responsibility for your kids' laundry or homework or food because you just threw that all on my doorstep and did nothing to help and then scolded me like a child when I failed to be like a wife to you and a full-time parent to your kids.
Right. And like, abstaining from this responsibility is not going to harm these children, right? Like, your husband got them pizza.
Yeah.
They'll be fine. Like, okay, they forget their homework once or...
Then they'll get in trouble at school.
Right.
Then, they have a lot of dirty clothes. They'll either wear something dirty or learn to do the laundry. Like, if you leave, there's nobody who's going to get, like, harmed.
Right. There is... You don't have to worry about harming the children if you back out of all this responsibility, which is not yours.
No, you worked from 5 a.m. to 7 p.m. You made a casserole and then you got yelled at for not texting about the casserole. This situation is so beyond the point of reasonable compromise. Your husband is not a nice guy who is trying his best. Let's put it that way.
This makes me tired just reading it.
Yeah. Go to that hotel right this instant. I get that your husband's ex is out of town dealing with invalid parents. I totally understand that you are not looking to create more chaos, but I don't see any other way that you can communicate to your partner that this behavior is totally beyond the pale.
Absolutely.
And you know, maybe you leave, you wait out another couple of weeks, his ex-wife comes back, you two go to couples counseling and, you know, you set some limits with him and say, like, hey, guy, either meet these, you know, really, really reasonable boundaries or we cannot be partners. Maybe he steps up. That'd be fabulous. And if he doesn't, frankly, you are so much better off without him.
Absolutely. You know, you have them every week, every other weekend and alternative holidays. So, like, and yeah, okay, a month during the summer, but, like, it's not surprising that you haven't seen this behavior from him before because he... Summertime is a very different time to have children than during the school year in terms of responsibilities. So, right. Like, I don't want you to feel like you should have expected this because this is outrageous.
Well,
behavior.
It doesn't sound brand new. Like,
no.
It just mostly sounds like this is the longest they've ever been
right.
here. And I used to be able to just, like, grit my teeth and get through it on the weekend, which, you know, again, not that that's like, oh, you should have, like, pushed back harder sooner. But I do understand that sense of, like, oh,
right.
I let this slide for a little while, but now it's at a point where I cannot let it slide for
right.
another minute. But, yeah, absolutely. Like, if the kids forget the homework, if the laundry's dirty, if they don't have dinner and you're coming home at 7 p.m. after, like, a 14-hour workday, like, that's not your problem.
Right.
This guy sucks. I know I've said that, like, 90 times. I just had to say it again. Like, my spirit needed to say it.
And it's really nice to hear you, like, say, you know, my stepkids are genuinely good and I understand they miss their mom because, like, you know, they are kids.
Yeah.
Like, this is definitely a your husband problem.
Yeah. But, you know, throw a copy of The Feminine Mystique down on the kitchen table and then just, like, boogie. You know what I mean? Like, this is some old school feminist 101 stuff of just like, hey, just because I'm the woman you married doesn't mean I own all the dishes in the house. They're not like my purview, my good man. This is ridiculous. Go back to the hotel. Stay out of there. If he is willing to, you know, apologize profusely for the ways in which he has taken advantage of you and is willing to work with you in the future to make sure that you are not just like the one responsible for his children. I don't know. Maybe you can make it work out. I sure hope you don't. I sure hope you guys get divorced and you meet someone else who doesn't suck. Or at the very least, you just get to come home at the end of the day and feed yourself.
It's a nice
rather
feeling.
Rather than this jerk.
Yeah.
Who's like, oh, a casserole in the freezer. How could I turn that into food? This is the most difficult, like, riddle anyone's ever faced.
Not like there are instructions on the fridge or anything.
Press the damn button, my guy! No, I hate this man. I have set my face and my heart against him in enmity. If I ever meet him on the road, I will challenge him to a duel. I'll just know it's him. Somehow, I'll just know. I don't know his name or what he looks like, but I'll just have this feeling in my heart, and I will fight him. Jess, thank you so much for the wonderful, poetic mom energy that you brought to the table today.
Thank you so much, Mallory. I had a lovely time.
You know, go in peace to love and serve the cause of justice.
Thank you.
And if anyone ever makes you a casserole and leaves you instructions on the fridge, what are you going to do?
I'm going to put it in the oven. I'm going to press the button.
You're goddamn right you are. You're
absolutely.
Goddamn right. All right, get out of here. Get out of here. Go home. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to Dear Prudence. Our producer is Max Jacobs. Our theme music was composed by Robin Hilton. Don't miss an episode of the show. Head to slate.com/dearprudence to subscribe. And remember, you can always hear more Prudence by joining Slate Plus. Go to slate.com/plus to sign up. If you want me to answer your question, call me and leave a message at 401-371-DEAR. That's 3327. And you might hear your answer on an episode of the show. You don't have to use your real name or location, and at your request, we can even alter the sound of your voice. Keep it short, 30 seconds, a minute, tops. Looking for more from Slate? The Double X Gab Fest is a bi-weekly podcast about feminism, gender, sexuality, health, politics, Beyoncé, and other issues of interest to women and their friends. It's hosted by Invisibilia co-host Hannah Rosen, New York Magazine's Noreen Malone, and managing producer of Slate Podcasts, June Thomas. Every other Thursday, get a heaping helping of feminist discourse about news and culture in your podcast feed in the Double X Gab Fest. Download and subscribe to the Double X Gab Fest wherever you find podcasts.